Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The Boilermakers had chances late versus Nolan Western, but the offense could not come through. Our thoughts with the short week to Minnesota upcoming on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters with Tom Dienhart to talk some football. We'll bring in Brian Newbert, get his thoughts on the game as well, but talk a little bit of hoops also with the season just a week and a half away. All right, Tom, let's jump into it. The Boilermakers fall to Northwestern, first loss of the season, 27-20 at home. Crazily enough, I was actually in Ross-Ade Stadium for the game. My first game in Ross-Ade, like in the stands in 20 years, which was a sort of a weird experience. So I got to see Purdue slip and slide all over the field and fail to come through as an offense in the last couple of minutes. It was as simple as that, right? I mean, the offense was given opportunities by the defense and couldn't get it done.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, just flash forward to the fourth quarter when it was 27-20 Northwestern. Purdue was in the game, and two times, Kyle, that defense got the Purdue offense the ball with a chance to go down and score a tying touchdown. Two times the offense could find no traction to punch it in and tie the game. So, just a frustrating night in general. I will say this. I thought the defense played well enough to win this game. I think the defense has been solid, and I've been pleased overall with it so far. I think it's good enough in year one under Diaco, but it's that offense. And I want to give some credit to Northwestern's defense, obviously. That's a good team. That's a good defense. But, again, the inability to run the football, get some offensive balance, that was one of the big keys, again, Kyle, that inability to run the football, which – you know, it was going to be a big emphasis in the offseason, but right now, Kyle, look at the stats, and Purdue was 14th in the Big Ten in rushing offense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, two yards total of rushing offense. Now, as you said, that was a good Northwestern defense and a better defense than what I thought it would be coming into the game. I thought it would be good. I think it was a little bit better than that, really sort of clamped down on the Boilermakers, even – Newsom there on David Bell did a good job, and he let everybody know about it. But hey, if you're going to play well, and if the refs are going to let you get away with some things, then go for it, right? I mean, look, it is what it is. But I mean, it was a frustrating game on multiple levels, in my opinion. I felt like Purdue could never get any sort of offensive rhythm aside from the last touchdown drive that Milton Wright scored on, that Aiden O'Connell was good on that drive. I think 8 of 11 for 70-something yards. Felt like there was some rhythm there. Other than that, I just felt like there was really nothing that Purdue could hang its hat on, aside from screen passes to Xander Horvath late. And, you know, just too often going, you know, the offense seemed like it was throw it toward David Bell and hope he makes a play, which is just not a good formula for offense. And, you know, you could sense, I think, Jeff Rom's frustration, too. He threw four different receivers in at whatever they call the, you know, X or Z or Y or whatever, the left side, the Milton Wright position, searching for someone else to make a play. And really, until Wright scored the touchdown, nobody did. It was just a frustrating day offensively all around for Purdue, and there didn't seem to really be any answer.
You're exactly right. I think you summed it up well. And first down, go back and look at Purdue's first down. You know, that's where it begins for every team on offense. And they didn't do well on first downs. They're always kind of playing behind the chains, so to speak. And third and longs are obviously not ideal for any offense to operate in those situations. And again, back to the ground game for me, hats off to Xander Horvath. I mean, how can you not be a fan of number 40, the ability to run and catch it? We saw a great stiff arm. How about that? To add to his video highlights for 2020. We did see King DeRue, Kyle, for one carry, no yards. He played five snaps overall. I'm surprised Dejon Hewitt, the redshirt freshman running back, cannot get on the field. So if you're scoring at home, the only other running back with a carry this year still is that one by DeRue last Saturday. Horvath's carrying a big load. and they need to find some way to manufacture a ground game. Horvath is good, Kyle, but they need to come up with some ways. You know, those short passes to Horvath are sort of de facto runs. Maybe they need to try to get more the wide receivers more involved in the ground game somehow. I don't know, but they have to do something to add some electricity and maybe big playability. Because, again, go back to look at the chunk plays for Purdue. Few and far between, Kyle, and that 40-yard TD by Garrett Miller, as you know, most of those yards were covered by him with the ball already in his hands.
That was a weird carry by King DeRue, too. I did not get it.
Yeah,
third and a foot, right? Yeah, and you put in the guy who hasn't played at all.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it was a play before Garrett Miller, but yeah.
Yeah, and then the Aiden O'Connell, looked like it was going to be a quarterback keeper on, I think, another third and short, right, where he kept it, took a step back and took a step to his right and slipped. You know, supposedly the sideline reporter before the game, Kyle, told on TV that O'Connell has been banged up. And I asked Jeff after the game, and he confirmed that I guess Aiden was a little banged up. So, again, not 100% quarterback, not sure the extent or exactly what was hurt. But, again, you don't want him carrying the ball too much anyway. He's not the most fleet of foot.
You mentioned slipping. I'm just going to, unload all the frustration from the game, just right here on the show. Purdue's playing at home. Why can it not – I mean, it couldn't stay upright. Northwestern didn't have any problems staying upright. Purdue couldn't have slipped – it was like playing on a slip and slide. You're playing on a glass surface. I didn't understand that. I mean, you're playing on their home turf. You can't stay upright. I didn't get that at all. Get longer spikes. What was the problem there?
You're not sure. Didn't ask the coach about that, why there were issues with footing. But you're right, curious nonetheless. But, you know, Kyle, now we turn the page, right, when we look toward Friday night. And how big is this game up in Minneapolis? I mean, you've got to find a way to win this ball game. I think the Gophers are obviously struggling. Defensively, they're horrendous. They're last in the Big Ten against the run. So that should maybe help the Purdue ground game get some traction. So, again, P.J. Flex had their number. We all know that. There's some revenge for the Boilermakers and Jeff Braum. But, again, this game Friday up in Dinkytown, boy, it is certainly a biggie.
P.J. will have him ready to go by having his team read C-Spot Run or whatever this week. So let's before we get into the Gophers, let's talk a little bit of Purdue's defense, because I do think it's worth mentioning. I mean – down the stretch, I thought gave Purdue's offense an opportunity a couple of times. There are at least three guys, and maybe you can add to the list, but at least three guys that, in my opinion, played at a really high level on Saturday and deserve mention. Derek Barnes was great, 14 tackles, I think. It seemed like he was all over the field. DeMarcus Mitchell, who actually got nicked up a couple of times, came back in both times. I mean, he laid one of the biggest hits I think I've seen on a dude. He's sort of all over the place. And Purdue asked him to do a lot. And for a guy that size, you know, breaking out the cover and rushing the passer and hitting guys is pretty impressive. And then Lorenzo Neal, I think, you know, it's been so long since we've seen Neal that you sort of forget the kind of impact he had. But in those last two series, I think he showed that he has returned to form. I mean, almost single-handedly, and in one instance, literally with his hand, gave Purdue an opportunity to get that game tied up at the end. Those three guys, I think, were great.
Yeah, batted down a couple passes. Number 9 was very active. I think he had a season high as far as snaps played goes as well, Kyle. So, yeah, it's been a good revelation to have, again, that fifth-year senior back in the middle of that line, able to play a lot of snaps. He's a good player. We all knew that, right? Just really weren't sure how healthy he was or if he could play a lot of snaps, but it looks like he's in store for a good finish to this 2020 season. Yeah, I mean, you know, Derek Barnes, DeMarcus Mitchell. I like to say, Kyle, those are players who are out there and they play like their hair is on fire, you know. I got to thinking, how was DeMarcus Mitchell headed to Louisiana Tech? I mean, this is a guy who could have probably played anywhere in America, but I digress. It's a good thing that he's on Purdue's defense because, as you noted, he's a nice player. And two final thoughts for me defensively. Of course, we saw Tyler Coyle for the first time, Kyle. The UConn grad transfer played 10 defensive snaps, was on some special teams. Good to get him out there. He plays that Jalen Graham outside linebacker role, kind of a hybrid safety LB on the edge. And then, of course, no George Karlaftis, right, number five. And I think we all can agree, right, his absence certainly was felt. Big George was dressed. Jeff said after the game when I asked him about GK and if he could have gotten in, he says, yeah, the plan was for him to get in on third down pass rush situations. He was going to test that ankle out in pregame warm-ups. If he felt good, he was going to go. Obviously, it must not have felt good, but it sounds like just for him to be dressed and out there was a heck of a feat by Karlaftis. So they got to get that pass rusher back on the field. You know, Jack Sullivan filled his role. He's not Karlaftis. He had a nice game, tries hard. But boy, Purdue needs a pass rush, and they certainly miss Karlaftis.
Yeah, I joked on the Twitter there that Peyton Ramsey could count raindrops sometimes in the pocket. I mean, he had so much time. Yeah. It was a little crazy. All right, let's talk a little bit of Gophers here. That game on Friday night. I mean, this feels like a game that you're going to know more about Purdue, right? Because I know it's a pick 'em or maybe Purdue favored by a point or whatever. But this is a game that you feel like if you're Purdue, you need to go win. Minnesota's been bad. I mean, the offense has been very mediocre, which is sort of a surprise. The defense turned over a lot of personnel, but it's been really bad. Purdue needs to go win this game, it feels like.
Oh, there's no doubt. I concur 110%. A listless, you know, Gopher program taking on water right now. 1-3. The one win was in Champaign, 41-14. They lost at home to Michigan. They lost that overtime game at Maryland on Friday night. And, of course, last Friday night at home. 35-7, Kyle. Florida Rosedale game. Iowa took it to Goldie and Company. So, yeah, this is a game you got to win if you're Purdue. I mean, you are the better team. And you talked about the issues defensively for Minnesota. They're well documented. Offensively, too, Kyle, they got a new OC. Kirk Schrock had left to take that same job at Penn State. People think that's impacted Tanner Morgan, their quarterback. Of course, Rashad Bateman's still there. Beware number zero. And Ibrahim, the running back, one of the best backs in the Big Ten, is a physical runner. He's got to tackle him. So you know the Gophers want to do that RPO, and they got flummoxed by it last year. Let's see if Diaco's got a better answer maybe than Nick Holt did.
All right, Tom, short week. Stay busy.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Newbert. We'll talk a little bit of hoops with him, maybe get some thoughts on football as well. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beers, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Set it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Tyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Tyler directly at kcompliment, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states. www.jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian to talk a little bit of basketball. Purdue opening its season in a week and a half, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, down in Florida against Liberty. Now, the Boilermakers will be a little bit shorthanded in that game, Brian. No Eric Hunter. A knee injury will be out, a little less than 2 months, maybe a little sooner than that, hopefully. That certainly impacts Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, it puts Purdue in a tough spot. That and even who knows if he could be ready for a game 10 days from now, having not practiced in like a month. Purdue came into this season with apparent depth and really good options in its backcourt, needing, you know, improved guard play from last season to take the sort of step as a team that's going to want to take here. And it's obviously on the precipice of a season where you kind of have to be ready for anything. Purdue's already been kind of hit by anything. So they're going to have a lot to overcome here pretty soon. Eric Hunter, you know, is probably their second best player. I think he was poised, and a lot of people feel this way, poised for really, really solid junior year here, a real improvement over last season. He was pretty good last season. This is a pretty significant loss for sure.
Yeah, loss on the court, but also, you know, for a team that I think is searching for leadership, or at least, you know, from our perspective, maybe we don't know where that comes from. He would seem to be a leading candidate. So for him, on an otherwise pretty young team, at least a young backcourt, that's a loss in that respect also.
Yeah, I mean, everything Purdue needs this season to be much better than it was last season. Eric Hunter is, you know, kind of the face of, Purdue needs better guard play. He's their best guard. Purdue needs leadership. He is one of the guys really, really trying to be a leader. Purdue needs to be better at scoring on offense. Obviously, he is one of your best scorers. It's just a really, really – he was – you know, obviously Purdue is going to play through Tre'Davion Williams all season long. I think they're only going to go as far as he can probably take it, and how quickly the freshmen can come along because they're really good. But you could make a real case that Eric Hunter was you know, Purdue's – you know, most important player because of so much of the important stuff that was in a position. I keep using the past tense. I shouldn't use the past tense. So much of the stuff that's important to Purdue's season this year in terms of the things that need to happen for Purdue to turn its fortunes around, Eric Hunter, you know, is and was going to be directly influential upon. It's just a really, really difficult loss here early in the season, but not one that, you know, can't necessarily be overcome. I mean, he's still going to be, if everything goes as hoped, he'll still play the majority of the Big Ten season. So it's not like it's a total loss.
What does Purdue do, you know, with Hunter out and maybe Ethan Morton not ready for big minutes because of the illness? What does Purdue do from a point guard point of view here early in the season?
Well, Purdue has four guards, I would qualify as ball handlers, decision makers, who would play that, you know, quote unquote point guard role at times. And they've got two of them left, and one of them is Jaden Ivey and one of them is Isaiah Thompson. So those two guys' stock is obviously on the rise from a playing time and opportunity perspective. Jaden Ivey, I think, was going to be an impact guy at some point, no matter what. I think he was going to, you know, play all over the place. I know he's being trained at a couple of different positions, but I think he's a guy who, you know, Purdue will put the ball in his hands quite a bit. Not necessarily as, you know, quote-unquote point guard per se, but kind of like a guard who's just going to have the ball a lot, kind of like an Etuan Moore, kind of like a Carson Edwards, where maybe they weren't technically the point guard. And, you know, Purdue, the point guard label at Purdue isn't all that big a deal. But I think Purdue's going to have the ball in Jaden Ivey's hands a lot, and I think Isaiah Thompson is probably your best fit to guard the point guard, and I think that's as important a consideration as anything else for that particular position. So both of those guys, I'm not sure necessarily who would be the number one at this point. I'm sure that might even still be up for grabs, but when I saw them scrimmage on Monday, Jaden Ivey had a really good day and seemed to be trending upward. And I would think he is going to see his opportunity really, really quickly. Not that he wouldn't have anyway, but I think now the path is greased even more. But this is also Isaiah Thompson's time now, too. He's been one of those guys who's had a lot of competition on his hands and whatnot. A couple of guys came in who were, threatening his minutes. Now it's all right there for him. So it's a good opportunity for him to respond to the challenge and kind of carve a niche for himself, because Purdue's down two really good players in a really important sort of role.
He struck me last year in limited minutes as a guy who was not afraid of the moment of sort of stepping up and trying to impose his will on the team. So I would imagine that he is embracing that opportunity right now also.
Yeah, he had some ups and downs, but he certainly had some ups. That three he made at IU, the little run at Michigan to start the second half. I mean, he showed you what he can do. I don't think ability is the question there. I think, he has been put into a very competitive situation, and it's been kind of a matter of how he responds to the competition that's been thrown in his lap now. But he's a good enough player to help Purdue. I think that's pretty evident.
Yeah. So Purdue officially released the schedule, the non-conference, at least portion of the schedule last week. I don't think there were really any surprises there. Liberty in that opener, either Clemson or Mississippi State, then the following day on Thanksgiving down there in Florida, Oakland, Valpo, Miami, and the challenge, Indiana State, Notre Dame, of course, down in Indy. In this modified non-conference schedule, anything stand out to you?
Well, let's hope it gets played. I think everything this season is going to be day to day. And, when Purdue gets off the plane in Florida and when they actually tip that game off, I think, a lot of people will breathe a sigh of relief here. I know there are situations where basketball is going to have some flexibility. It's not like football. And I think that if a game gets canceled, you can pick up another one, potentially on the fly, which would be surreal, to see, but I think that, the schedule got changed pretty considerably. The Gavit games got whacked. The game against West Virginia got whacked. And that, waters down your schedule a little bit. This is the first time in years that Purdue hasn't had a ranked team on its non-conference schedule. That could change, obviously. One of these teams could get off to a great start and work their way into the back end of the top 25. But when you look at your marquee games being Notre Dame, Miami, and either Clemson or Mississippi State, that's those are good games against good opponents, but probably not quite the marquee sort of schedule Matt Painter's always tried to schedule. This was a really, really difficult thing to pull off to put together a non-conference schedule in a matter of a couple weeks here on the fly while, the Big Ten schedule was getting sorted out and all this stuff. Obviously, you just tried to make the best of it. You don't have a whole lot of say over the Crossroads Classic. You were locked into Cancun, which became Florida, which became the Space Coast Challenge or Space Ghost Challenge, whatever it's called. You didn't have any say in the Big Ten ACC. Obviously, you lost the Gavit and you lost the West Virginia game. And the biggest thing about the non-conference schedule is it's probably the best you could come up with. And let's just hope like hell it actually gets played.
Yeah. All right, as you said, it'll help a lot that basketball is much more adjustable than football. You can't just play a random Wednesday night game, comes together at the last second like you might be able to in basketball. Let's talk a little bit of football before we let you go. We got about a couple minutes here. How big is Friday night's game? I mean, to me, it tells you a lot about where Purdue is. Like, was it just pretending that it was – going to be a team that could compete at the top of the West, or is it in fact, a team that should be favored in these games, against bad teams, which Minnesota appears to be, rather than just a pick 'em? I mean, to me, it feels like a game that, that Purdue sort of needs to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think they all matter a lot now because there's only four of them left before the crossover game.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, something that's gotten lost in the game on Saturday is that, you know, Northwestern's good. I mean, they're 4-0
yeah.
now for a reason. And, you know, Purdue lost to them by a touchdown. They had all kinds of opportunities there in the fourth quarter. It was disappointing, but you lost to a good team by 7 without George Karlaftis. You still don't have Rondell Moore. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on there, too. And I think you have to have better quarterback play than you got on Saturday. I think that much kind of goes without saying. That being said, there were a lot of reasons that went into, you know, Purdue losing that game Saturday. And I think the biggest one is Northwestern. They just did a really good job defensively.
Yeah.
I think Purdue, you know, had been doing a pretty good job at the line of scrimmage on offense prior to Saturday night. But Northwestern did a much better job defensively up front than Purdue did it offensively. And I think Northwestern's secondary did a hell of a job against the strength of Purdue's team, that being its wide receivers. So I think, you know, I don't know if necessarily it's freak-out mode time here for people who have a stake in Purdue. I think Minnesota has really, really struggled this season, much like, you know, not quite as much as Illinois has really struggled this season. But probably
yeah.
they're probably comparable to Iowa. You were able to beat Iowa. I think Purdue is
mm-hmm.
a solid team. I don't know if it was a reasonable expectation for them to go unbeaten here. I know everybody got their hopes up after
yeah.
the 2-0 start, but I don't know if Purdue's there yet. And, you know, Purdue
yeah.
is at least Friday night's an opportunity for Purdue to show at least they're closer, which,
yeah.
you know, I think they have a pretty good chance to do. Minnesota is not great, obviously, and I think you're set up pretty well here to go up there and, you know, compete really well.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
No problem. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll be there next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charter team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email me at kyle@chartersteam.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
For a week leading into the Minnesota game on Friday night, we'll drop the pregame podcast a little bit earlier this week, probably on Thursday. So be sure to look for that. More, of course, as news breaks on goldandblack.com. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. For Tom Dienhardt and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.